Hi, this is Christopher O'Reilly, host of From the Top. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. While this podcast is free for all of you, it actually costs our little nonprofit some significant resources to purchase rights for all this fabulous music. Please consider making a small gift to From the Top and keep us broadcasting loud and clear. Go to fromthetop.org and click on Support. How old were you when you recorded Birth of the Cool with Miles Davis?
That was 1950 in the spring, so I must have been, wait a minute, I was born 24?
Wow.
Yeah.
So really young.
Yeah.
But, I mean, meantime, you'd been playing the horn professionally since you were the age of the kids on this show, right?
Yeah, well, even younger. I started playing professionally at age 16, and that was with Toscanini. And the NBC Symphony, and the next year I went to Cincinnati Symphony as first horn, and then 2 years later, at age 19, to the Metropolitan Opera.
Amazing. So. Yes, this is From the Top. I'm Christopher O'Reilly, and I'm sitting here with my very, very special guest, one of the greatest musicians of all time. Composer, conductor, author, music educator, and, in his youth, a killer French horn player, Günther Schuller. Günther, great honor to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Günther is also one of my mentors. He was president of New England Conservatory and one of my teachers when I attended that institution, and we've been in touch ever since. Günther, I think it's fair to say that you're a fan of From the Top.
Oh, yes. I've been listening to it whenever I can, almost all the time. I'm home a lot, so I listen to a lot of radio. And it's for me, it's been just an epiphany, a revelation of what immense numbers of talent there are amongst these youngsters. I don't think we knew about this as much as we now know because of your program,
You know. As regular listeners know, every year we do a best of show where we revisit some of the most memorable performances we've had on From the Top. But this best of show is a little different. You see, every so often my phone at home rings and it's Günther telling me how much he's loved a performance or maybe a new composition by a teenager that he's just heard on the show. So today we're going to hear some of Günther's favorites, talk about them, and along the way learn more about his amazing career. By the way, at the end of the show, we're going to shift gears and hear the world premiere of a piece that Günther wrote as a teenager. So, Günther, given your history as a phenomenal horn player, it was natural that you'd call me to let me know how impressed you were with an outstanding performance of a movement from the Brahms Horn Trio on our show. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it very well. And it was an amazing performance. And I've played that piece. I've heard it 1,000 times. So I was really impressed.
Let's listen to that performance of the Scherzo from the Brahms Horn Trio in E-flat. The three teenage musicians from the Chicago area were Anna Spina, 17-year-old French horn player, Hannah Stewart, our violinist, is 18, Kevin Chang was our 16-year-old pianist. They called themselves the Tusfaro Horn Trio.
Thank you.
Tutsforo actually is Hungarian for burning hot. And what do you think, Gunther? Pretty hot, that performance?
Yeah, I wouldn't use that word. It's so beautiful, yeah. And it's so subtly refined The problem with this piece is, first of all, just the general balance problems between a horn and a violin, okay? Okay, but that can be dealt with. But what Brahms did here, and he did it so much in all of his writing, the horn part is written actually in three levels. One is where you are actually the lead voice. Then the second level, a bit down, is where you are a secondary voice. And then there's a third level below that where you're simply playing harmony notes. And it turns out that in a given 8-bar phrase, you have to do all three of those things. Mm-hmm. And I've heard almost no horn players do that. They just play their beautiful sound, you know. Right. And this girl just... she must have incredible musical instincts.
Great instincts and a protean sense of knowing where in that
yeah,
sort of balance
to put yourself. It's kind of elastic, yeah, back and forth. I mean, that's really rare.
Very quixotic and very poised, I find. You know,
yeah, just, and by the way, missing no notes.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Which, of course, is the horn player's bane.
The bete noire. On this best of From the Top, we just heard the scherzo from the Brahms Horn Trio in E-flat, performed by the Tutsforo Horn Trio, made up of teenagers from the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra. Their coach is Kathy Johnson. They were Anna Spina, 17-year-old French horn player, Hannah Stewart, 18-year-old violinist, and Kevin Chang, 16-year-old pianist. The Pulitzer Prize-winning composer, conductor, author, and music educator, Gunther Schuller, is our guest today, and we're listening to excerpts of From the Top programs that he's especially liked over the years and that he's called me about as a friend and a fan of the show. Gunther, since this show is all about young musicians, I'd like to hear a little more about your early years. You were surrounded by music in your home growing up, yes?
Yes, my father was a violinist in New York Philharmonic, and my mother was very musical, although not a professional. And I think, of course, I heard music already in my mother's womb without knowing it.
And then, of course, you started, you could sing whole symphonies by the time you were, I think, 6 years old or something like that.
Well, that's not quite true. What happened was that, the thing that's so strange about me, I showed no interest in music through all my years until I was 11. No interest, no talent, no nothing. Except once all this music burst out of me at age 11, and then it all went very fast, so I became a professional by the age of 16, my parents then told me that, for example, I would sit in the tub and play with my rubber ducks, you know, and I'd be singing the entire Tannhäuser Overture, imitating even the different sounds of the clarinet and the horn and the trombone in some way. That's what they say. So there was something there, but it never got developed. And then suddenly, when it was discovered that I had a beautiful soprano voice, I went into the choir school, and then the music came alive.
Yeah.
Amazing.
As we said earlier, you were playing French horn in professional orchestras by the age of 16 and in the Met Orchestra at 19. But when did your love of jazz begin?
Well, that began earlier when I was 13, 14, because when I was in high school, after my voice broke and I had to leave the choir school, I would do my homework, you know, in the evening. And late at night, all the big bands of that time, the great swing era bands, Duke Ellington, Benny Goodman, all of those orchestras, Tommy Dorsey, I just listened to them every night. And one night in particular, I may have heard Ellington before that, but without realizing anything, how great he really was. That night sort of changed my life because I heard some music that just, I could not believe how sophisticated, how beautiful, how rich harmonically, melodically, the perfect form and the great performances of that orchestra. And by the way, I don't want to single out only Ellington. I mean, they were all great orchestras. So at that point, I declared this, by the way, to my father the next day, I declared that jazz music in the hands of the greatest practitioners is just as great as the music of Beethoven.
Gave him sort of a heart attack.
My father nearly had a heart attack, and it took him a couple of weeks to recover from this when he saw that I wasn't going to abandon classical music, that it turns out now I was going to do both.
Yeah.
And that, of course, describes the rest of my life then.
I want to move on to our next From the Top Best Of selection, a piece which has some jazz influences, but first.
Listen to From the Top anytime you like by going to the audio archive at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need, on the web at jkcf.org.
Gunther, I remember that you called me about this next performance we're going to hear after you listened to it on the air, and you were ecstatic. I'm talking about the Bone Rangers. Do you remember them?
Yes, I remember it well. I almost can still hear it.
The Bone Rangers, four teenage trombonists from the Merritt School of Music in downtown Chicago. Kevin Dombrowski and Sean Tripp, 15 years old, Jonathan Laxton, 17, and Matthew Walford, 18. Gunther, here's the piece and the performance you liked so much, The Trombone Quartet by Walter Ross.
Thank you.
the Walter Ross Trombone Quartet. We heard the Bone Rangers, the quartet from the Merritt School of Music in Chicago, ages 15 to 17. We heard Kevin Dombrowski, Sean Tripp, and Matthew Wolford from Lansing, Illinois, and Jonathan Laxton from Oak Park, Illinois. Fantastic performance. Wonderful piece. Now, our listeners have probably figured out that we talk to our guests coming on the show extensively before they arrive, and Tim Banker from our staff, who originally talked to you all, described you as a really tight bobsled team. Would that be an accurate description?
I wouldn't say so. I'd say we're more like a trombone quartet.
Yeah. If you put us on a bobsled and sent us down an ice chute, we would not last very long.
Mm-mm. Yes.
Really?
But not much practice.
But
that.
And especially, you know, I hear Kevin. You were telling me that Matt's a dirty player. So if you put him in the back of the bobsled, you know, it could be trouble. Is that
Maybe.
True?
Yeah, he's pretty dirty. I
wouldn't call him a dirty player in hygiene or playing most of the time. He was given the nickname just because he plays freaking loud.
Like down and dirty. Yeah, that kind of thing. Really.
I like to think of myself as a pretty clean guy.
Yeah, sure. You're a clean-cut guy. You're all, you know, combed and we're all set to go. But you like to really get in there and mix it
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
That's a good thing. I mean, you know, in a brass section, you need that sort of...
Good point. Of
elbows out. Yes. And, yeah. You know, off you go. Speaking of dirty, though, your coach, Tim Reardon, isn't always delicate and refined either. I mean, he gets a little dirty, too, with, you know, coaching you guys.
Sometimes we'll be in the middle of rehearsal, and he'll just go out and say, that sucked, do it better. Uh-huh.
Not just say that sucked, yell.
Yeah, it's a bit more forceful than that, yeah. It's more like, you suck. It gets the point across well, but, I mean... It's
where do you go from there?
You know. Good point.
It can only improve.
Can only
We're
go
used
up,
to it, though.
Exactly.
Three of us have been studying with him since we've been 10 years old from the same town. Yeah. So, I mean, we're used to it. And
it's a long time to suck, I'll tell you. But, I mean, no, seriously, I mean, is it that, I mean, do you think that's too demanding? I mean, what kind of standard do you think he's holding you up to? I mean,
the highest.
Professional standards.
Professional standards.
Yes. We can never meet his expectations, which makes us great.
We're always just trying to strive for something better. That's what we're trying to get to.
Being held to professional standards, you know, you guys really rise to it. It's fantastic. Again, these were the Bone Rangers from the Merritt School in Chicago, Kevin Dombrowski and Sean Tripp, 15, Jonathan Laxton, 17, and Matthew Walford, 18. Their coach, the inimitable Tim Reardon. Gunther, Tim Reardon is one of these very special teachers, and as is the Merritt School of Music in Chicago, one of the most amazing institutions we've discovered, dedicated to teaching any kid who walks through their doors. But things aren't so rosy in the field of music education in some parts of the rest of the country. As one of the most famous teachers of our time, as president emeritus of New England Conservatory, what do you think is wrong and right with the way we're teaching music?
Well, the first thing I would think of is that from a point of view of technique, technical perfection, so to speak, and virtuosity and getting around on the instrument with ease and so on, I think we have now the highest level that I certainly have ever heard, especially amongst young people in my lifetime. I think what's missing, though, or what's less involved in the music making is the intelligence, the sort of understanding of the music. You know, this is all sort of driven by this enormous number of young talents that we have in this country who all want to get into symphony orchestras or something and therefore have to take auditions. And in an audition, you have to be technically perfect. But what I want to know about musicians beyond that is, can they tell what note in the chord they're playing on, whether it's a major third or a minor third?
Context.
Yeah. And how they pay attention to the dynamics or the colors or the differentiations between French music and German music and all those kind of subtler things that are not taught very well, I believe, anymore, and which are therefore lacking. So you have a note-perfect performance, but there's something missing in the inside of it, you know. What are the ingredients, and the things that this imaginative composer put in there that makes that music unique and special? And to bring that out as well as getting all the notes right.
Mm-hmm. Gunther Schuller, educator and composer, conductor and author, is our guest today as we listen to some of his favorite moments from past From the Top shows. Gunther, next up, the music of a gifted teenage composer.
As we say at the top of every show, From the Top celebrates the power of music in the hands of America's kids. But did you know our radio show is just one of the many ways From the Top does that? Learn about our nationwide education and outreach efforts at fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture, poetryfoundation.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. This is NPR.
I'm Christopher O'Reilly, and this is a special best-of edition of From the Top. The extraordinary musician Gunther Schuller is our guest, and we're listening to performances by our teenagers that he's especially liked over the years. And keep listening, because at the end of the show, we're going to have some teenage performers here in the studio bring to life a piece of Gunther's that's never been performed before, a world premiere. Gunther, you're a true Renaissance man, a very multifaceted musician, but composition has always been your first love in music, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I want you to meet a 17-year-old composer from New Haven, Vermont. His name is Tim Woos, and he's also a Renaissance man.
I have to confess, I'm kind of a musical geek. I play a bunch of instruments as well as composing and conducting. I play the flute, the guitar, and I guess my primary instrument is the piano. Even though I'm primarily a pianist, I guess I identify the most with the bassoon. I feel like I have a bassoonist personality. Bassoonists are laid back and easygoing, and all the bassoonists I've met have been pretty quirky, and I really like that, and I kind of identify with that. I'm also really into rock music, and I've gotten into building my own equipment. I've built a guitar and a bunch of tube amps, and even some pedals. I really love the sound of the tube amps. They sound just so much better than solid-state amps. They're a lot clearer and warmer. And right now I'm playing through a 50-watt tube amp that I built, and now I'm going to kick in a fuzz pedal. Gotten into astronomy as well. My whole family, we're all members of the Vermont Astronomical Society, the VAS, and we do a lot of work with schools around the state. And we've also gotten really into building telescopes and grinding mirrors, which is what I'm doing right now. I'm grinding a really big 16-inch mirror. It's the biggest one we've done yet. And I ground a little 5-inch mirror a couple of years ago in the summer, and it took me like 200 hours to finish. And I do this with my brother and my dad, and it's really kind of you get into a trance-like state just walking around the barrel that the mirror is sitting on, grinding away. So I finally saw Raging Bull, and got really into boxing. My grandfather was a boxer, so I already kind of knew what it was all about. And it's a really great break from music stuff and the aggression that builds up doing that. And when my friends come over and do it, after like 30 seconds, they're just on the floor, winded. I'm really obsessive about things and go through phases, and recently I've been really into vinyl and playing records, and I've bought a whole bunch of records, both new and used, and some that were used but never played. And I have a vacuum record cleaning machine and a nice old turntable, and to me it just sounds so much better than digital music, and I've been really enjoying listening to the vinyl. So, yeah, I guess you could say I'm a Renaissance man.
Well, Gunther, we try and have a lot of fun with the kids on our show. I know, actually, I think Tim's interests will serve him well as a composer, don't you? I mean, I know you had a competitive streak growing up. You know, you were a great pitcher, played softball and daredevil.
Yeah. Well, listen, anything you learn and acquire is going to enrich you in some way. I mean, it's just by definition. and therefore one never stops learning, or one shouldn't. One should always keep be the eternal student. But this guy is pretty wide-ranging.
It's wide-ranging, yeah. Let's hear some of Tim's music, two movements from his Suite for Bassoon Quartet. Tim will pick up his bassoon along with 17-year-old Emma Shapiro and 16-year-olds Emily Olmsted and Deborah Egan. Deborah, even though Tim is a bassoonist, he didn't make this easy to play on the instrument, did he?
Well, particularly in my part and in Emma's part, too, there's a lot of really tricky fingerings for me because I'm in the highest register the bassoon has. And so the fingerings are kind of awkward, and the pitch has a tendency to be very, very sharp. But it's really cool, though, when you put it all together, because we end up going from one of the highest notes the bassoon can play to the lowest note the bassoon can play. And when you hit that low B flat as a group, it's really...
It's like bedrock. It's really fantastic. It really is.
Tim, were you actively trying to torture people with these difficulties?
I don't think so. No. As a composer, it's always a struggle to write music that's possible for performers to play. And sometimes, you know, you really, really want something, and it's just there's no way you can get it. But I think with this quartet, there's a I really felt like there I struck a nice balance with playability versus the sound I was looking for.
Well, let's hear this. Emma, would you please introduce Tim's piece?
We are going to play Tim Wooz's Suite for Bassoon Quartet, number 7 and 5.
Two movements from the suite for bassoon quartet by 17-year-old composer Tim Woos. Tim was playing one of the bassoons. The others were played by three teenagers from down east, Maine. Emma Shapiro, 17 years old, Emily Olmsted, 16, and Deborah Egan, also 16. The Pulitzer Prize-winning composer, conductor, author, and music educator, Gunther Schuller, is our guest today on this Best Of edition of From the Top. So, Gunther, how did you like Tim's piece?
I was quite impressed by it. First of all, because as he said about his own piece, he put it a different way. I would say it's very bassoonistic. I mean, this is ideal bassoon music. And the bassoon is a very special, almost peculiar instrument. It even looks a bit peculiar. But anyway, so that's one thing. Again, that means that no other instruments could play this thing, and that's always something important in music. But then it has a wonderful sense of humor also. It is maybe a little repetitious, you know, but my God, he's 17 years old. It's really very well made. How many movements are there?
I think seven movements.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, love to hear the whole piece. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, I was very impressed with him. I actually got a piano piece from him that I was playing on tour for a bit.
Also, I want to say that the lady who played the first part, the lead part, she was right about the difficulties of going from the very highest notes to the lowest B-flat and all of that. But she did that so well. And what really impressed me, she had a very special color on those high notes. It almost had a luminous quality. I've almost never heard that on a bassoon up there. So congratulations.
Yeah. Yes. Gunther, next up, a real treat. We're going to hear the world premiere of a piece you wrote when you were the age of the kids on this show. But first,
podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more.
Gunther Schuller is our guest on this Best Of From the Top, the man who's been called a musical monopoly because he's done everything in music over his long career. He's played French horn with everyone from the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra to the Modern Jazz Quartet. He's been a teacher and president of New England Conservatory. He's been a scholar and written many extraordinary books, including his recent autobiography, A Life in Pursuit of Music and Beauty. He's been a music publisher, a conductor, and of course, a composer. So we're going to leave our Best Of mode, listening to highlights of past From the Tops, and we're going to hear the world premiere of a piece you wrote as a teenager, Gunther. Tell us about this piece.
Amongst my musician colleagues, the ones that I was closest to were either cellists or oboists or trombonists, just by chance, the way it worked out. So when you're a young, unknown composer, you write for your friends. You know, they play music. And so I wrote a piece for three trombones and piano. And I also wrote at the same time almost a piece for three oboes and piano. But the interesting thing about this piece is that it never got performed. I've written by now 220 or something pieces, and all of them have been performed at least once, but, you know, some many times. And I began to puzzle about this. How come my little oboe trio piece has never been played? And then I realized just recently, I'm now 86 years old, I finally realized that I had never produced a set of parts. I probably told Joseph Marx, who was one of my big oboist friends, that I had written this piece, but I never pursued it further. And part of it is that I was also very busy writing a lot of music, playing, recording in New York and staying up all night listening to jazz and all that. So eventually then I realized that I had never asked anyone to play it. So now here was this piece. What can we do with it? And here we are with the world premiere of a long-forgotten orphan piece.
You actually had to drag this out of your notebooks. I mean, there wasn't even a proper score, really.
Yes, I wrote a lot of that music at that young age in sort of notebooks, and very fast. I mean, I have a beautiful manuscript, but when I compose, I write it very fast, and I'm probably the only one who can then read it, you know. So I did that, and in one weekend, I wrote out this piece just recently. And we have this score. And I have to say, I was surprised that I was not tempted to make any great changes, a few dynamic changes. So there we are. And now finally it comes to life. It
sure does. Well, to play this world premiere with me in the studio, we put together a world-class trio of oboists, all teenage players now studying at your old haunt, Gunther, the New England Conservatory. Sam Waring, Raphael Horowitz-Friedman, and Nicole Caligiuri. Going back to your early love of jazz and your story about discovering Duke Ellington on the radio one night, I hear some Ellington in this piece, particularly in the piano part.
Well, but it's not just Ellington. There's Ravel in here, there's Debussy, there's some Alban Berg. There's many composers, all my influences as a teenager, and sort of all sort of amalgamated in this piece and many other pieces that I wrote when I was 18 and 19. And we learned by imitation. So I was a great imitator and sort of felt that I had to deal seriously with some composer and have his music course through me. And Ellington is in there, but on the other hand, one could, if it's, for example, a D ninth chord, mm-hmm. Ellington didn't invent that. But Ravel and Debussy wrote lots of ninth chords, so there's an overlapping between jazz and classical music.
Let's now hear the world premiere of your Fantasia Concertante for three oboes and piano.
Thank you.
We just heard the world premiere of the Fantasia Concertante for three oboes and piano by Gunther Schuller. The oboists were Sam Waring, Raphael Horowitz-Friedman, and Nicole Caligiuri, ages 19 and 18. I was your humble pianist. Gunther Schuller has been our guest on this special edition of From the Top, where we've revisited some of his favorite moments from the show and where we just heard the premiere of one of his teenage pieces. I was just so honored at the thought of premiering a piece of yours. You know, I've played and heard so much of your music, and this piece was just such a pleasure to get to know. And looking at your manuscript, your impeccable manuscript that I've seen so many times in the Ragtime Ensemble and other things, it was just great.
Well, of course, I'm thrilled because the performance came out so well. I mean, in very short time, preparing for this, you know.
Let's go out with a taste of a type of American music you particularly love, ragtime. Just as you championed jazz as a high art form, you championed ragtime as the precursor to jazz and had a bona fide hit album when you put together the New England Conservatory Ragtime Ensemble to play Scott Joplin's Red Back Book. I was privileged enough to be a pianist in that group when I was your student. We had great fun several years ago when you appeared on one of our live tapings of the show, and we put together a group of teenagers to play your arrangement of Joplin's Maple Leaf Rag. Gunther, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today, and I can't express enough how much you continue to mean in my life, learning as a musician. I don't want to cast aspersions on any of my wonderful piano teachers, but I think, you know, I can speak for everyone who has come in contact with you that we've learned more from you than from any other musician I can name. Your book on conducting is not just a wonderful book on conducting, but it's a great piece of work about learning a piece of music, about the respect to the score, and
well,
nobody else really has the integrity and the worship and respect for music than you do.
Well, part of me is that I love to. I've had such a wonderful, rich life in music, and I want to share all that I have learned and acquired. And pass it on as best I can. I think I've sort of done that all my life.
And you do it selflessly, and with music being the most important thing.
Thank you Absolutely. So much.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Join me again next week when we take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music producer Tom Vinieri. Today's program was recorded at WGBH Boston. The recording engineer was Alan Mattis. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. From the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. And from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.
Thanks for downloading this week's From the Top podcast. If you liked what you heard, head over to our website, fromthetop.org, where you can listen to every show in its entirety. I'm Christopher O'Reilly. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.